Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
The text for our sermon today comes from the first reading from Acts chapter 2, specifically looking at verses 37 and 38, 39. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" And Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself." You know, 3 years ago, when I first started making visits at Alma Manor shortly after I arrived here in McFarland, I would stop in every single room because I wanted to let all of the residents know that I, representing the church, was there to serve them, to pray for them, and to listen to them. However, over time, I kind of started to get stuck in a routine of visiting a lot of the same people on a regular basis. The others didn't really respond to my visits, so why waste time on them when I know I have some people who are interested in my visits? Now, Paul does tell us that it's okay not to throw pearls before swine. When people reject over and over, it's okay to move on. God's plan for them might be different. However, the attitude of getting stuck in a rut and only visiting the regulars was the wrong one to take, and it led to me stopping visiting everyone as they moved into the manor. And as the people left, I started to visit less and less people. God's promise, however, is for everyone. It's not just for those who were there 3.5 years ago and are still there now, and it's not just for those who responded on day one. God's promise is for everyone, but that's not something that we think about or that we focus on or that we keep in mind at all times. Because in general, I think a lot of people have an innate fear of outsiders. Now, this can be reduced and it can be subdued, but for a lot of people, it is still there all the same. You see someone you don't recognize on a dark street and you immediately want to go the other way. We generally associate with those who are like us, with some exceptions. If you have kids, it seems that a lot of your friends also have kids that same age. If you have a certain level of education or a specific profession, your friends will probably be similar, either having gone to that same school or having at least that same level of education or working in that same profession. If you are a certain age range, a lot of your friends are probably going to be in that same age range as well. If you grew up in a specific neighborhood, you will probably trust those from that neighborhood more than anyone who isn't. And you'll trust those who have lived there at least as long as you more than any of those newcomers. We fear, a lot of times, people fear the loss of control and power that outsider influences can represent. Because when outsiders, people who are not longtime establishment, become involved, they draw power away from the establishment. And in politics today, we see this very clearly, that as outsiders make themselves known, regardless of who the outsiders are, the establishment clamps down and tries to subdue them into themselves to protect the establishment. It can also happen in neighborhoods and in businesses and perhaps even some churches as well. And yet, God is there. God brings everyone into his kingdom. At Pentecost, Peter says that the promise is for everyone. Pentecost is just simply the first example of this when the gospel is proclaimed to people who are not Jews who live in Judea and Galilee. That at Pentecost, all male believers or all male Jews from everywhere come together in this one place in Jerusalem for worship. And all of these people from the diaspora are here together. They may speak Hebrew well enough to worship, but their primary language is something else. And so here they are gathered together on the apostles' doorstep, and the Holy Spirit descends and makes them to speak in tongues so that they can speak to all of these Jews from the diaspora in their own languages and proclaim the gospel to those who are very much unlike themselves. And of course, later on, the Holy Spirit descended on the family of the Gentile centurion named Cornelius after Peter told him and his family about Jesus. These Gentiles also spoke in tongues as a visible indicator that the Holy Spirit had been given to them, the Gentiles, as much as to the Jews. The promise is not just for some. God's promise is for all. The promise is for you and for your children, for all who are far off, Peter says in verse 39, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. On Pentecost, there were a lot of outsiders who didn't speak the right language, but they were at least Jews. But when Peter went to Cornelius, they were different. They were Gentiles. They had no real claim on the God of Israel by birth, and yet God came to them. And God confirms Peter's message to Cornelius, and more to the point, he confirmed the faith that he had given to Cornelius and his family by sending the Holy Spirit on them, clearly proving that the Holy Spirit has come for outsiders. And in our day, that is just as much the case. The promise of the Holy Spirit is given to everyone. After all, we were outsiders compared to those who were there at the first Pentecost. We are Gentiles and not by birth part of Israel. And in fact, even today, the average Christian, looking at Christianity on a global scale, the average Christian today looks nothing like anyone in this room. The average Christian today is actually a poor African woman. None of us are African even. We are the outsiders to global Christianity, and yet the Holy Spirit is given to us as well. We are outsiders, but the Holy Spirit is ours. Jesus promised to send the Holy Spirit on his people before he was taken up into heaven, and on Pentecost, the disciples experienced this for the first time. Tongues of fire appear over the believers' heads, and they speak in different languages. And this confirms the faith and shows those who are there, who are themselves outsiders, the faith that is theirs. The Holy Spirit was upon the apostles powerfully all through their ministry so that they performed miracles such as healing the sick, raising the dead. They led the church and preached by means of the Holy Spirit, and they gave that gift to others. At the house of Cornelius, the Gentiles spoke in tongues. They spoke in tongues showed that the Holy Spirit had been given to those who are on the outside as much as to those on the inside. And the Holy Spirit is also on you. In your baptism, you received the gift of the Holy Spirit. You may not speak in tongues or perform miracles, but the Holy Spirit still dwells in each of you all the same. The Holy Spirit makes us holy, makes us in God's image, forming us and reforming us daily to conform us to the image of God, which is placed on us at creation and will be restored in us at the new creation. And it is amazing what can happen when the Holy Spirit dwells within the church. When God's Spirit is within, there is no room for other competing spirits, for anything hateful or anything hurtful in the church. When God's Spirit is within, there is no holding grudges or seeking hurts. There is only room for the fruit of the Spirit that is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. When the Holy Spirit is within the church spreads the message of the gospel to those who hear it, that they may receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, that they may come to know and worship their Lord and Savior. It is all to His glory. Amen. Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia.